prayer life will be revolutionized. Amen? Hallelujah. Because that's, you know, I don't know about you, but that's what the Holy Spirit is dealing with me on, you know, having a, you know, getting more serious about our prayer life, making it more of a priority than we already do. Amen? That it's not just a quick fix, but it's taking time with God. And so we're going to talk a little bit more about that tonight and some of the great men and women of prayer. And I'm telling you, prayer will change everything if you'll give yourself to it. It will change. We try to fix everything. We try to put everything together. We try to, you know, fix our life. But without the wisdom of God, without the place of prayer in our life, we're not getting God's full plan for our life. Amen? And not just our life personally, but even praying for our nation and praying for our cities and praying for our families and wanting people to be saved. Amen? So I'm going to pray right now. Father, in Jesus' name, we just love you tonight. And Holy Spirit, come and do what you do. Come and reveal the word of God to each and every one of us, what we need to hear tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 So I'm going to start off with Mark chapter 11. I'm so excited about this week. Are you guys excited? Yes. I mean, this is, it's exciting. And listen, get your tickets. Tell everybody, get your just because you're a member at Living Word, you can't get in without a ticket. Got to get your tickets, okay? And you can, you know, it's a good time to sow a seed and buy a ticket for another family. Just say, hey, there's this awesome Christmas show. I want to get you a ticket. And just hand them tickets. Amen? And invite them to the show. So, okay, let's get started with this so we can get you out of here. Try to get you out of here early tonight. In Mark chapter 11, verse 15, Jesus is talking here. He comes in. We'll just go ahead and start reading. It says, so they came to Jerusalem, and then Jesus went into the temple and began to drive out those who bought and sold in the temple and overturn the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he would not allow anyone to carry wares through the temple. And then he taught, saying to them, is it not written, my house shall be called a house of prayer? A house of prayer for all nations, but you've made it a den of thieves. They were basically using the church to buy and sell and so forth and to steal and steal from people. But prayer was so important to Jesus. He was so angry when he went in there. And he said, my house shall be called a house of prayer. And I don't believe that's changed today. And I don't believe it's just a house like this church house building. You know, our churches are houses of God, we call them. But also, we house the Holy Spirit. Amen? And ought not my house, this house, be called a house of prayer? Jesus talked about prayer so much in the New Testament. And if he talked about it, and if he had to pray, how much more should we have to pray? Amen? And then let's look at Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 3. Say, making prayer a priority. Yeah, making prayer a priority. Number one, above everything in our life. That's when things will change. That's when you'll see miracles and signs and wonders and healing when we make prayer a priority. Let's look at this. Luke 11, 1 through 3 in the Amplified. It says, then he was praying in a certain place. And when he stopped, one of his disciples said to him, now notice, Jesus was praying. And his disciples were listening to him. And as he was praying in a certain place, when he stopped, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. They saw the power in Jesus' prayer. And they were saying, Lord, teach us to pray. And he went on to say, he said to them, when you pray, say. You know, there's a lot of people say, well, I pray, but I pray silently, or I pray to myself. No, Jesus said, when you pray, say. You got to speak when you pray. Amen? I'm not sure if there's such a thing as silent prayer. I had a lot of silent prayers growing up. I was told to pray silently growing up. But Jesus said, when you pray, say, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be thy name, your kingdom come, your will be done. And on earth as it is in heaven. And then in verse 3, he says, give us daily our bread. So he's not just saying to pray. He's saying it should be our daily food. Amen? It needs to be our daily food. Give us our daily food. Daily food. So there are two realms, the realm of the spirit and the realm of the natural. And for things to be done in the natural, we see the way the world is today. We see situations and battles that we've been going through. For things to be done in the natural, they're going to have to be done in the spirit first. There's going to have to be somebody to pray and get it done in the spirit. Even for people getting born again, there must be a prayer to birth them in the spirit. It's all through the Word of God. Amen? And it could take weeks. You could teach on this 365 days a year, but honestly, if there's nothing happening in your prayer life, then how can you expect something to be happening in the natural? In your family, in your city, in your nation, in your situation. If evil is going to be pressed down in the nation and cities and in our homes, it has to be done in the spirit first. You know, I like our Sunday night crowd because you guys are the mature crowd. You're hungry for more. Amen? You're hungry for more. See, the church is the world's only hope. And the reason why it is because the church can deal with Satan. The church can deal with the evil spirits. Satan is the god of this world. And we have authority to deal with that. When we get born again, we're saved. We're delivered out of the kingdom of darkness. He's no longer our God. And we're seated in heavenly places with authority over principalities and powers. But what are we doing with that? Are we letting the enemy run us ragged, or are we praying and learning how to pray and pressing into prayer and finding out how do we pray? Amen? We talked about revival last week and the prayer life of Evan Roberts, and I'm going to share about a few lives of some more famous men and women that have prayed. One of them was George Whitefield, a great evangelist. It is said of him, he retired every night at 10 o'clock, and he rose equally every morning promptly at 4 a.m. in order to pray. He disciplined his life around prayer so that he would not miss prayer. Takes a discipline. You know, he didn't say, well, I'll just watch this movie, or I'll stay up to midnight, or I'll do this. No, he had a disciplined prayer. It was important for him to get up, and he was one of the greatest evangelists of all time. John Wesley spent 2 hours daily in prayer and commonly said that God does nothing but an answer to prayer. Most of these men of God, they would share that. They would bring out the scriptures and show that God does nothing but an answer to prayer. Martin Luther said this, if I fail to spend 2 hours in prayer each morning, the devil gets the victory through the day. I have so much business, I cannot get on without spending 3 hours daily in prayer. See, we say, well, we're so busy, we don't have time to pray. But he said, if I don't get these three prayers in, I'm not going to get my business done. I'm not going to get the things done that I need to do. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Because Jesus said we're seated far above all principalities and powers and might. And we're going to look at a few scriptures tonight that talk about us praying always, the importance of praying always, not just praying here and praying there, but praying always. And there were so many more scriptures, but I only pulled out a few tonight. In verse 10, the Apostle Paul's talking to the Ephesians church, and he says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Say that with me. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age. That's who you're wrestling with. Amen? Against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. And then he goes on, he said, because of this, because we're wrestling with the spiritual hosts of wickedness, because we're wrestling against principalities, against powers, he says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. We can withstand in the evil day. We're the ones that will be withstanding. Amen? And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate, and having put it on the breastplate of righteousness, and having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I wanna read, where was I? 15. Let's go on to 16. I'm going to read verse 16 in the Amplified. I'm not sure if I sent you the Amplified or not, but if you can pull that up, it'd be great. Look at this in verse 18. I'm sorry, I'm skipping around here. I'm going to back up to verse 16, but when we get to 18, I'm going to read it in the Amplified, okay? It says, above all, take in the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Is fiery darts coming your way? See, we can quench them, amen? And when we put on the shield of faith, it says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. I'm not teaching on the armor tonight, but I want to get to a point here. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And then he goes on saying, praying always with all prayer. How many of you know there's different types of prayer? There's the prayer of agreement. There's the prayer of petition. There's intercessory prayer and so forth. But in the Amplified, in verse Ephesians 6:18, it says, pray at all times, on every occasion, in every season, in the Spirit, with all manner of prayer and entreaty. To that end, keep alert and watch with strong purpose and perseverance, interceding in behalf of all the saints, God's consecrated people, praying at all times, on all occasions. And I know, like, you know, honestly, I pray, we pray a lot, but we're not always in that persevering place. You know, like I get in the car and I know immediately, you know, I'm praying over protection. I'm praying for God to lead us. I pray, you know, we stay in the spirit of prayer. But I believe Paul's talking about even he talks about here in perseverance with strong purpose and perseverance. How many people are praying with strong purpose and perseverance when they're going to prayer? And honestly, people say, Pastor Judy, you know, prayer, I just don't feel anything. It's just so, but you know what? I think that's why Jesus talked about the daily bread. I don't know about you, but if I do a once a week prayer, if I'm skipping around here and there, I'm just trying to get through it. I'm not praying with strong purpose. I'm not praying with perseverance. And a lot of the church world is just praying to get through it. And I know I grew up in a religion that you just said a lot of prayers just to get through it. You know what I'm talking about? But God's wanting to hear our voice for this nation, for our cities, for our families, for our lives. He's wanting to show up, and he's wanting to show up strong. And the Apostle Paul's telling them here, he's telling them, he's saying, you got to pray with strong purpose and perseverance and pray at all times. People say, how can we pray at all times? Listen, you can pray a lot more than what you're praying. Amen? Nothing happens without prayer. Nothing happens without prayer. There's a young man, his name was William Temple, and he people were saying to him, oh, all those things that happened to you, they're just coincidences. When he got his prayers answered and different things would happen, he'd say, oh, that's just a coincidence. That's just a coincidence. But he replied to his critics, who regarded answered prayer as no more than a coincidence. When I pray, coincidences happen. But when I don't, they don't. Come on now. God will show up when you pray. Amen? The disciples' request is probably our most needed prayer when the disciples said, "Lord, teach us to pray." So, you know, a lot of people have learned how to pray, but because they've been away from prayer so much, they've forgotten. And they go to prayer and they don't even know what to do. And we're in a nation. I've read missionary stories. They don't have pencils and notes and books, and they don't have a lot of what we have. But we're in a nation where we can write things down. We can listen to stuff. Honestly, we don't have any excuse. We can learn how to pray. And if you're not hungry to pray, listen to everything on prayer. Read things on prayer. That's the most important thing. That's the cornerstone of your Christian life, your relationship with God. These men of prayer, like Evan Roberts, have altered the course of history. You know, what they had is their fervency and their perseverance in prayer. They were hard about it. It wasn't a task. It wasn't a duty. It was, oh, man, I got to get up and pray. Oh, I can't believe I'm so tired. I didn't pray today. I'll pray in the morning. Come on now. I'm not getting on you. Listen, God's dealing with me to even spend more and more time in his presence, in praying. Because, listen, we know certain things to pray, but the Holy Spirit has things that he wants to pray through us. He has things that he wants to reveal to us that we need to bind, that we need to loose, that we need to deal with. Amen? But if we don't get into the presence of God and we're not praying, how can we hear from the Holy Spirit? Especially even praying in the Spirit. I guarantee you start praying in the Holy Spirit and you're focused. It was funny, this morning I get up and I went into the living room where I pray and I said, this morning, usually I carry my phone with me because I'm, you know, when scriptures come, you know, or your notes, you know, our phone has become everything, you know, as far as your notebook and everything. I said, I'm just going to leave my phone in the, and I'm just going to pray. And I'm telling you, it was like, I thought I was going to sweat bullets. Because everything was coming in my head, all the things we had to do and the scheduling and the this and when are we going to do this and who are we going to... It was just like, and I'm like, I cannot believe this. My whole time I'm sitting there saying, God, I'm sorry. I'm not going to think about that right now. You know what I'm saying? So because we've become spoiled with our phones. You know, grab a notebook and a pencil and get along with God. If a scripture comes to you or words of a scripture, write them down and look them up later on. But we need to spend time in the presence of God with God and not get interrupted, because what happened, the more time we spend in prayer, the less those interruptions will take place. Amen? And honestly, I've had excuses like I'll keep my thing. Well, I have to have my phone because, like, if things come to me, I got to write them down. See, I'm putting everything before that precious time with God. And that's not what God wants. Amen? We can't get things done that way. We can't hear from the Holy Spirit the way that we need to hear during that time. I mean, I can think of so many reasons, you know, music, everything. Let's look at James chapter 5, verse 16 through 18. Am I helping some of you tonight? James 5, 16 through 18. It's a priority. We have to make it a priority. You know, not just like it's a choice. Let's look at this. Confess to one another, therefore, your faults, your slips, your false steps, your offenses, your sins, and pray also for one another, that you may be healed and restored to a spiritual tone of mind and heart. Now, some people get real weird about that. Oh, I got to go confess my sins to everybody. Sometimes If you have offenses with somebody, you need to go and talk to them about it. Amen? Hallelujah. But then he goes on and he says, the earnest, heartfelt, continual prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. And he says, the earnest, heartfelt, that part where it says heartfelt, continued prayer, in the King James, I believe, it says the effectual, fervent prayer. One of the definitions of fervent is boiling hot. I remember reading, and I don't have all the details, but his name is David Brainerd. He was a missionary to Indians, and I remember reading a detailed information when of him being out there and how these Indians would just, they would still dance and drink, and he did everything he knew to do. And it's one day he just went out into the woods, and he fell on his knees, and he was in snow up to his chin. And it said he just prayed and prayed, and they said he was so fervent that the snow melted around him. This is recorded in one of the books that I read. You know, how fervent are we are with our prayers? Or are we just quick like God is McDonald's and we're just driving up and we get impatient when somebody in front of us maybe is taking too long? What are they ordering? Oh, the people in there are so slow. What's going on? We're always in quick, you know what I'm saying? And I think we carry that over in our prayer life a lot of times. Come on now. So it says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. Elijah was a human being with a nature such as we have, with feelings, affections, and a constitution like ours. And he prayed earnestly for it not to rain, and no rain fell on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. And then he prayed again, and the heavens supplied rain, and the land produced its crops as usual. And I read this scripture tonight because we always think everybody else is different from us, but they're not. Elijah, here, Elijah, a man of God, it says he had feelings, affections, and constitution just like you and I. God has placed within us. We can pray like Elijah. We can see miracles. Amen? We can have that fresh relationship with God. I mean, wouldn't it be great if you're driving down the street and the Holy Spirit says, you know, pull over in that Stop and Shop lot over there. Go into the third register. Buy... I was going to say a pack of cigarettes, but we don't smoke anymore. That's the old man. Anybody see that quote by Clint Eastwood? I thought that was so cool. They asked him, they said, you know, he's 91 years old, and they asked him, they said, what are you, I, you know what, I don't even have it on me, so I can't tell you, I'm missing the whole... But anyhow, they said, what is your next project? And he said, I'm going to do a movie or something like that. 91 years old, produce a movie. And they said, well, what's the first thing you do every day? And he said something like, does anybody have that? Do you have that quote, honey? It was so cool. He said, I don't let the old man in. He's 91. We let the old man in all the time. The wrong old man, and we shouldn't let that old man in. Amen? I thought that was pretty cool. But here was Elijah and the men, these men that I'm talking about that have prayed. They were people of like passions as you and I. They're just men like us that God used. And God wants to use you. It doesn't matter whether you're young or whether you're old. There's going to be a lot of people that I believe that are in their homes praying. Amen? That we're going to see, they're going to have a lot of rewards. We're going to see a lot of results. You know, you can always add to your church. It's not always the works. It's not always the physical works, but it's the praying that counts as well. Amen? It was said that one could always point out George Washington in Congress because he was the one that dropped to his knees in fervent prayer during a session of Congress. He would be the one that dropped on his knees in fervent prayer, and everybody always knew that's who George Washington was. John Wesley prayed from 4 a.m. to 6 a.m. every morning. These were men that won thousands of souls into the kingdom of God and still had time to preach. He prayed from 4 a.m. to 6 a.m. every morning, still had time to preach 40,000 sermons, write 231 books, and travel 250,000 miles on horseback. John Fletcher frequently stayed up all night praying, and this is a quote that he had. He said, I would not rise from my seat without lifting my heart to God. Now I'm asking you tonight, is that your position in prayer? He said, I'm not going to rise up without lifting my heart to God. Martin Luther said, if I fail to spend 2 hours in prayer each morning, the devil gets the victory. If you read anything that he has written, you'll know that that man was ready to lay down his life for the cause of Christ. Amen? He said, if I fail to spend 2 hours in prayer. Now, you don't have to spend 2 hours in prayer. You don't even have to spend an hour in prayer. Start out with 15 minutes, but be faithful in it. Start out somewhere, 15 minutes every day. I'm going to get up 15 minutes early, and the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to seek God. I'm going to seek him before I brush my teeth. Amen? I don't know if that's the first thing you do, but most people, that's the first thing they do is they get in there and brush their teeth, whatever. Hallelujah. But, a half an hour, 30 minutes, once you start praying, it's going to just increase because you're going to want to be with the Lord more and more. You're going to start seeing miracles. Start believing God for something instead of, just having a mumble-jumble prayer life. God, I want to, if maybe you need a new home, maybe you need a vehicle, maybe one of your children need to be touched by God. I don't know the situation. Or praying for your city. I'll tell you, when you start praying for cities and nations, you start getting a heart for souls like never before. I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit will pray through you. You will not want to stop praying. Amen? Listen to this. The Queen of England, named Bloody Mary, back in the 1500s, said, I fear no man. She was like a wicked queen. She said, I fear no man. I only fear the prayers of John Knox. Now, John Knox was a person that said, I don't know how anybody could lay in a bed all night and not rise to pray even once. How can a person, this was his quote, go to bed at midnight, get up at 6 a.m., and sleep all that time without at least getting up a couple of times to pray? And now the Queen of England, who has the world in the palm of her hand, said, I fear nothing except one thing, the prayers of John Knox. Now, I know some of these might sound extreme to you. 2 hours, 3 hours, all day long, 10 hours. But let's get started with something. Get into that place that, find a place in your home, in your car, in your basement, somewhere that's just you and God. Let's make 2023 a year of prayer where we see results, where we see our churches filled, where we see souls saved, where we see people healed. I have people that text me that can you pray for us? So many people need healing. They need physical healing. There's young people going through things that you can't even imagine, and some of the diseases that are on people. God wants to set these people free. Amen? And we need to get into prayer so that we're communicating. Prayer's not just it's not a task. It's a relationship. You would never, if my husband doesn't talk to me, he's in big trouble. If we never talk. You have to have communication. You need to talk to God. Wants, the greatest desire for God is to fellowship with you. He showed up in the garden every day with Adam and Eve until they sinned. And the day he showed up looking for them, he said, Adam, where are you, Adam? Where are you? But they had sinned and said separated them from God. But Jesus took care of the sin problem. Amen. Amen? He made us righteous. God fixed it that you and I can come boldly into the throne room and spend time with them. That's how much he wants to be with us. Amen? Just a couple more. John Welsh prayed 8 to 10 hours every day, and his wife was not a big fan of it, and she used to rebuke him when she found him lying on the floor weeping in prayer. Rees Howell, how many of you ever read his books? Rees Howell, what a man of prayer. According to his wife, was one time faced with a massive problem in his life and in the church. He prayed 12 hours a day for 11 months until there was an answer to that prayer. And things came into being in a way that was harmonizing with God. When we talked about Evan Roberts last week, he prayed for 12 years before he saw that revival. He was passionate in prayer. And I believe God's doing things a lot quicker now. But, I believe there's a lot less people praying with that kind of tenacity and perseverance. How about Susanna Wesley, John Wesley's and Charles Wesley's mom? She was the mother of John and Charles, who was the author of a massive percentage of the songs in the hymn books. She had 12 children, and she used to pray for over an hour a day. The way she did that was she took a veil, she put it over her head, and would lay her head down on the table. And whenever the children in the family saw that she had this veil over her head, they knew that we do not disturb mother now. And the children just backed away from her. They knew that prayer was very, very important to their mother, and they grew up with that same intention and with that same motivation. If your children don't see you in your prayer, you don't see you praying, don't expect them to be that way either. Amen? We just have to be careful, or church is just going to become church. We love God. We're going to heaven. Thank God you're in church, and it's awesome. But if we really want to do some big things, we got to pray. We got to hear from God. I don't want to do something big just because a church down the street does it. We got to hear what God has for this church. Amen? We got to hear what God wants to do in Rockland, in Brockton, in Quincy, in Weymouth, wherever you live. We want to hear what God has to say. And in 2023, we're gonna have 21 days. We haven't decided which day to start it. 21 days of prayer and fasting in January. And what I want to do, we're going to have some of our leaders, and you can see me if you want to do this. We're going to have the church open every day, and we're going to have different leaders leading prayer meetings. We may have morning prayer meetings and night prayer meetings, or morning prayer meetings one day, or night prayer. We're going to have a schedule and see who can be here. So, and we're going to have specific things that we're going to have you pray for. So if you're interested in that, you can talk to me, because we're going to be having a meeting, and we're going to explain and really go through everything, because we want this next year. You know what? If we're going to get out of next year what we pray about. Amen? We can't just, we're just going along, and we're expecting a great awakening, a great move of God, but it's going to happen as we pray. Amen? It's going to happen as we pray. Charles Finney, he spent a full day in the woods fasting and praying before he went to preach at a congregation that was known to be as dead as nails. Hallelujah. He went into that sermon prepared after a full day of fasting and praying in the woods. Every single person, history records, every person except for one fell on their faces in the aisles. They were crying and weeping and asking for God's mercy with such a loud moan that he finally had to stop the sermon because no one could hear him. Wouldn't that be great? Pastor gets up here and he can't even preach because the Holy Spirit comes on people. Lives are changed. People are getting saved. People are getting set free. Amen? Now that happened after a full day of praying to God and fasting and prayer. Even David prayed three times a day and there was a time he prayed three times a day. There was another time he prayed seven times a day. Let me just close with these scriptures. Psalm 55, verses 16 through 18. I don't know if I gave you these ones. It said, as for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord will save me. Evening and morning and at noon will I utter my complaint and moan and sigh, and he will hear my voice. He has redeemed my life in peace from the battle that was against me, so that none came near me, for there were many who strove with me. He was praying in evening and morning and at noon. In Psalm 119, 164, he said this, seven times a day and all day long do I praise you because of your righteous decrees. We say we want to have a heart like David. David had a heart after God. And in 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 and 17, it says, be happy in your faith and rejoice and be glad-hearted continually, always. Verse 17 says, be unceasing in prayer, praying perseveringly. You know what perseveringly means? It means to persist in spite of counter influences, persist in spite of opposition, persist in spite of discouragement. But all through the scriptures is talking about praying. Where is our priority? Listen, we're only here, and the Bible talks about occupy till I come and redeeming the time. Our time is so precious. And God is not saying, he's not telling us, hey, you got to be in prayer 24 hours, you can't do nothing. You know, people have to work to eat. He talks about that in the book of Proverbs, doesn't he? Amen? But really, if you can get to an hour a day, you won't just be praying for you and your family and your situation. You'll be praying for others. And do you know, when Job began to pray for others, Job was delivered. When you begin to pray and intercede, when you begin to get the heart of God, he's going to put things on. You can't help but to pray for others. You can't help but to pray for your church. You can't help but to pray for your nation. We know what's going on in our nation, and a lot of people don't like it, but how many people are praying? Amen? Holy Spirit-led prayer. Amen? When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But where sin is, there's a reproach. Amen? But then it goes on. The scripture also says where sin is, much more is the grace of God. But we've got to pray those things. I just think we've gotten, a lot of people gotten into a place that God's just going to move and he's going to do whatever he wants to do. But that's not true. If God's not moving in your home, you need to get on your face before God or your life or your situation. If you really have a heart to see souls saved, do we want to see an awakening? Do we really want to see souls saved? Do we really want to see revival? It comes as we seek him, as we put our faces. Elijah was, God had given him a word. Many of you have had prophecies, but you haven't prayed over those prophecies. Elijah was given the word. He said the rain is going to come, and he kept sending his servant out, looking for the rain, sending, and they didn't see it yet. But you know what Elijah did? He didn't say, oh, well, I guess I didn't hear from God, or oh, well, this or that. He put his head between his knees, it says, and he began to pray for the word of God to be for what God said to come to pass. Amen? We're co-laborers with God. And we need to get that fight in us just get along with God and stop worshiping him. Stop praising him. Maybe you just need to shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Get in your car, turn your windows up so nobody can hear you. Who cares if people think you're crazy? Amen? I mean, I've been driving in my car, and the Spirit of God come in. You just begin to weep, and you're like, people are probably looking at me like, but who cares? You know? Nothing is like the presence of God. We're going to do this, right? It's not just good for the church. It's good for you personally. God wants to hear your voice. You're just as important as Adam was. Amen? Hallelujah. How about he shows up at your house every day and says, hi, Diane. How about he shows up in your kitchen and has coffee with you? Amen. How about you turn the news off first thing in the morning? How about you turn off the social media first thing in the morning? How about you don't even look at your bank account first thing in the morning? Come on now. I challenge you. Some of you are looking at me like, are you crazy, Pastor Judy? I live for social media. And you're wondering why God, you don't have the presence of God in your life. You're wondering where God is. I'm not coming against anything. You know, I get on social media. I mean, but what about seeking God first? Getting out of that bed. You know, finding that time. I bet some of you wake up in the middle of the night and you're restless and you're trying to get back to sleep. I bet if you got up and pray, it would change your life. Amen? Hallelujah. Worship team, come on. How many of you are ready to do this in 2023?